tell people not everybody can be an entrepreneur. We're not built the same. It's not for everybody, especially in this generation where everybody wants to be seen as bossed up. They think entrepreneurship means Mercedes, yes, own house, this, uh-huh, bank account overflowing. Good luck with SARS.
Yes, good luck with SARS.
Good luck with actually managing and sustaining that business and making sure that you are growing. You know, it's one thing to have a business on paper. It's one thing to go and register it and think, oh my goodness, I open a business, start a website, have an Instagram account for it, and then what? How do you scale your business? What impact does your business have? Not just on your life, but society. Mm.
Welcome to the Lebo Lion Show, the biggest marketing and entrepreneurship podcast on the African continent. Guys, thank you so much for your support thus far. I mean, you've been watching these videos, you've been commenting, you've been putting us on Twitter. I am so excited about where we are going. And today's guest is going to make you, literally, you're going to want to write down notes. She's so successful. She's incredible. And she has such great energy. So I can't wait for you guys to meet her. But before you meet her, don't forget to like, subscribe, share this podcast with your friends, family, everybody, even those nurses that I met at Olivedale. Hello, I see you, and keep watching the podcast. I really appreciate your support. But let's get into today's episode because I don't want us to miss this incredible human being we're going to be speaking to today. And as you know, on this podcast, we don't introduce the guest introduces themselves. So Allegro, hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Lebo, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. I know you're busy, so it's a real honor and privilege to have you here.
Thank you.
Please introduce yourself to the Lebo Lion community who might know you but don't actually know what you do or have never heard of you. Tell them who Allegro D is.
Always the hard question in the beginning, like, how do I introduce myself?
Exactly.
But Allegro is a South African-born entrepreneur. I was born in Limpopo, in Lebakomu to be specific. Raised in Pretoria, went to school in Johannesburg, and currently based here with work and family. I am a mom of two lovely, energetic boys. I'm running a group company, holding company as some know it, which has 10 entities, so I do quite a lot. And I've been in business for 11 years now, since the age of 21, so you can try guess my age now. And I love what I do, and I just love where the space is taking me as an entrepreneur.
I love that. And literally, as you were speaking, all I heard was 10 entities, guys. I run 4 businesses and I feel like I don't know what to do with myself. How are you juggling everything? And I know with some guests, when I say juggle, they say there's no such thing as juggling, you know? Mm-hmm. How are you managing, let me say, running 10 businesses, you have a family, you have to take care of yourself and a social life. How do you manage all of that?
I think having a great team, that is how I do it, because you can't be a successful entrepreneur and think that you're going to do it all by yourself. I always tell up-and-coming entrepreneurs that, yes, in the beginning, when you start, you are going to be everything that you need on your team, because obviously you can't pay people, you know, as you're starting. I used to be the accountant. I used to be the cleaner. I did everything. The social media manager, I was the one posting and do everything. The marketer, you name it. But today you hire people to do that so that I can have time, as you say, to be the family person, to be the mom, to be the partner, to be everything that I need to be, and also just excel as an entrepreneur. So if I'm going to have that mindset of I need to do everything on my own, I need to be super, super hands-on, good luck with that.
good luck with that.
It's not going to work out. It's not going to work.
Let's take it back because, I mean, 11 years from 21 to now, we'll keep them guessing about what your age is. But from 21 till now, 11 years, 10 entities, coming from Lebowahomu. I mean, tell us, how does a girl from Lebowahomu go from there to Joburg? How did that transition happen?
Actually, funny that we started in Pretoria. I'll keep the story short, but I went to primary school. Our family was based in Pretoria. I went to Sunnyside Primary. And then when my parents divorced, I was about 11, 12, we moved back. So just imagine now having to adjust to a different type of lifestyle. We moved back to Limpopo, where my parents are originally from, my mom. And we moved with my mother. And she went to Lebakgomo. That's where most of her family is. We were based there. And I had to continue schooling there. And my two older sisters were already like in university. So they kind of like just stayed behind in Pretoria, Joburg, trying to find their way. So my brother and I were the ones that moved with my mom. And based there for about, 6 years. Did my entire high school that side, and then came to Johannesburg when I went to the University of Johannesburg to study further. So quite a transition, but you know, life happens and you have to adjust and figure out how you move forward. You can't sit down and twiddle your fingers and think, okay, why is this happening to me? Why are my parents taking us back to this type of lifestyle? Why are things moving backwards instead of forwards? You just kind of just adjust and grow.
Please educate me here. I don't know what Lebakgomo is like. Is it a rural area? Is it a township? Is there a lot of infrastructure and opportunities? What is it like?
It's a semi-town.
Okay.
Like, I'll put it that. It's not necessarily like a Tembisa, but it's not the Bundus.
It's not the Bundus.
You can Google Lebakgomo. I mean, they've got a mall. So
yeah.
Picture that. You know,
yes.
We've got a mall. We've got, you know, all these regular fast food franchises, they're you know, good roads, no potholes and all that, you know. So it's a great place, but it's small. You know, when someone has big dreams, you want to think outside of Lebakgomo, and you also want to think outside of Polokwane, which is our nearest town. You know, you start watching TV. I remember when I was 16, 17. At the time, we didn't have TikTok, Instagram, blah, 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 all of this stuff going on. And my mom was really just doing her bit to try and make sure that as a single mom raising four kids, trying to make sure that we are all being raised right, especially financially, because she was just working temporary jobs as, you know, whatever she could get. It was difficult to even like be spoiled. I'm the last one, by the way. I'm the last born at home. So it was difficult for her to even just like do little things for us that you felt like you're super spoiled, or, you know, something fun for, you know, month end or whatever. But I would always ask my mom, can you please get me like an Oprah mag? And I know it's expensive, but throw it in the bag when you're doing your grocery shopping. And that's how I kept my dreams and hopes alive. I watched the Oprah show religiously. When my friends were reading like People magazine and gossip, and because I mean that's where they would get the gossip, not on an Instagram. We didn't have that back then. But I was, you know, getting my motivation and inspiration from Oprah's shows, from reading her magazines, from reading books, whatever I could gather. I was that girl, you know. And I remember back in the day, we used to watch Generations.
Yeah.
The intro,
it's still a thing now. It's still
not for me.
I think.
So back in the day, the intro had like the city of Joburg. I don't know what you call it.
Yes, the skyline thing going
on. I was like, one day, you know? And then one day, the people from the University of Johannesburg, when we were in grade 11, came to our school to, you know, try and like get us to go to UJ or whatever. I don't know what they call them, but they were like, okay, in your matric, once you matriculate, UJ is a perfect place for you. So we had different universities come, from Wits University, University of Limpopo, and the orange for me. I was like, I'm going to UJ.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting, I think, about four or five distinctions in matric. I went and I got a scholarship via Wits University, which I declined. And my mom was like, what is this child doing to me? Why doesn't she just go to the free one, you know? And I went to UJ, and UJ only gave me like, I don't know, a couple of thousands for every A that I got. But I was so adamant that I want to go to UJ. I think that's where my dreams are going to come alive. I need to go there. And that's how I ended up in Joburg.
I love that. You spoke about my homegirl. I call Oprah my homegirl. She's the reason why I'm even doing this podcast. Because of how she moves and just the things that she does. What was it about Oprah for you that said, this is me?
One word. I think it's audacity.
Thank
you. You know, perseverance and the consistency, always being told no, but you keep pushing. Like, even in that space where she grew up in, where it was like, what is this black girl doing? Nobody's doing what she's doing. Can't you just sit in your corner and accept that this is how life is going to be for you? She said, no. Mm-hmm. You know, that for me is how you push boundaries, where you break glass ceilings. You know, we talk about these when we talk about women empowerment, and but she's the perfect example of someone who said, I'm not going to let my background, my environment, where I come from, the obstacles I face, the different challenges that come my way, stop me. I want to be the person that I envision. This vision that God gave me of this grand life, I want that. Mm. I don't care who tells me what. If God said that this is the seed I'm planting and one day it's going to happen, I don't care if one day is in 20 years. Yeah. It's going to happen for me, and I stay on track and I keep moving forward. And for me, there's no better example. I mean, there's so many amazing women, so many people out there that I follow that inspire me. Oprah, definitely on my top five. My mom, my grandmother,
amazing
woman that without them, there wouldn't be an Allegro. You know, if my mother had just given up on herself after the divorce, if her mother, my late grandmother, hadn't told her to be a strong woman, to push forth, to go to school, to get an education, we would not be, as siblings, we would not be where we are today. So it's those women that made Allegro who she is today. And I'm so grateful for that.
I love that you're saying that. We actually have so much in common. So one of my favorite quotes that I love to share in this community is by Maya Angelou, where she says, I come as one, but I stand as 10,000.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and what she spoke about is literally that, you know, representing all the people who brought you here. Everything that you embody is all of those people. So I think that's beautiful. You spoke about UJ and how you knew you wanted to go to UJ. Yeah. And I know you studied journalism. Was it because of Oprah? Why UJ? And how did you navigate through university? Because there are university students who watch this, you know, and some of them say there's so much pressure to succeed. There's so much pressure to do what my parents tell me to do. There's so much pressure to seem a certain way in varsity.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to navigate through it.
Yeah.
How did you navigate through it?
I think the first thing is being yourself.
Mm.
Being true to yourself. And I know the influences are there. I know you leave, imagine, you leave Lebakom when you get to Joburg, and then you're so tempted to just enjoy life, whatever that life is on campus or whatever. You know, and I lived on res. So in first year, there's all these different activities that they put for first years. There's BFS, there's this. I made it like very clear when I got to, I went to Amperdar. I stayed at Amperdar residence.
Oh,
and I told them when I got there, I think I was the first year student to ever tell them that I'm not doing all these cultural things that you hear. I'm not here for that.
Mm.
You know, I remember in first year when people were like choosing whatever they're going to do, like extramural activities, whether it's hockey, rugby, whatever. I knew that I needed to get on radio. I knew that I needed to get inside and work for the UJ magazine. And I did all of that. So the first thing I did was like walk around campus, figure out where the station was, figure out how I can get inside, you know, and introduce myself. And I said, okay, listen, I'm here. I'm studying journalism and I want to learn in like all different types of media. I don't want to limit myself and say, I just want to do the blogging stuff. I just want to wait for online journalism when it comes in third year. I literally went there and I said, listen, I want to be on radio. I want to learn. I went to the UJ magazine. I went to the UJ newspaper. I wrote for the UJ Observer. I was busy.
Yeah.
First year, I knew what I wanted. You know, I declined all these party invites. I declined. I didn't care about that stuff, you know. And they quickly learned that, okay, this is a different type of student. Some obviously called me snobbish. Some called me, I thought I was too full of myself. And I'm like, I know what I want and I'm not going to let all of these other activities deter me and, you know, make me lose focus, whatever it was. If I was not at the library, I was at the station. I had a show on UJFM, or I was in my room, I was writing articles for the UJ Observer, the magazine, you name it. I was busy. And then I got an internship with, it wasn't a formal one, but I went and I shadowed Gwena Mwabelo at Radio 2000 at the time, at the SABC. From there, I then met Carol Shabalala, and I was like, okay, I'm learning about sports journalism. And then she took me from her radio show into SABC, where she did the nighttime, I don't know what it was called now, I forgot, but the sports evening show. I was busy, and you ask, I was 19 years old.
Yeah.
You know, because I went there with that tunnel vision that this is what I'm going to get out of the 3 years, and when I leave here, I need to prove to my mom that she made the best decision by investing in me as a parent and saying, fine, you don't have to go to WITS and take up a scholarship. Go to UJ, I will pay. Mm. You know, I will continue working, I will pay as a single parent, and I want you to do what you love. You know, I didn't want my high school principal, Mr. Bupape, to say, I told your mother, because he literally had a meeting with my mom. He said, you are not doing journalism. All he called it was Shwashi.
Yeah.
You are so smart. Why about with that Shwashi? I'm like, it's bigger than that. Journalism is not just newspaper or gossip, right? It's not that. And I knew what I wanted. So having to try and explain it to my mom that, forget what the principal is telling you. This is what I'm getting at. And I know I'm going to end up having a great career out of this and starting my business out of this. It's not just media stuff or whatever. And they'll tell me you're going to earn peanuts. Oh, you're going to tunnel vision.
And how does entrepreneurship get into this? Because now from journalism to entrepreneurship, that's a big shift.
Yeah.
How did that all happen?
I've always known that I wanted to go into business.
Okay.
Me studying journalism was not to be in a newsroom. Mm. And I respect and I love journalists that are on the ground, that are doing the work. Kudos to them, not for me. Mm. And I realized it when I interned one time at the BBC. They sent us downtown to do a story where there was like at Cosatu House. There was, I came back to the office. I said, do not ever send me to do that. I can't. That's not for me. I don't want hard news. I want soft news. Give me pop culture. Give me that. I would rather do that. And it's nice because I tried different things, like different media in the media space. And I knew what worked for me and what didn't work for me. I wasn't just going to stick it out in something that I knew that this is not for me. I tried sports. I tried news. I tried until I found my niche and what I wanted. And also me going to UJ was for me to just get the, I would say, the theoretical experience. And I knew very quickly, that's why in first year I needed to get the practical experience. I wasn't going to wait for the final year. You know, I was interning, I was busy, I was doing all of these things, having, you know, starting my blog and just figuring out how I was going to move forward with it and starting a business. So I always had the business mindset, and also growing up, my uncles have supermarkets, you know, back home. Holidays, I was there counting bread, taking stock. I was that girl. So I always had that thing like in me that I want to have something of my own that I start from the ground up, that I just work at and leave a legacy, and inspired by my uncles, my mom, people around me, your Oprahs, you name them. And the older I grew and as I matured and I was at UJ, I realized that actually this is possible. Because sometimes you have that vision and you tell yourself it's possible, and then you might encounter challenges and you're like, but maybe it's not. Maybe, you know, that voice that tells you, Level, what are you doing?
This yeah.
But you're like, actually, this is going to work, you know?
Exactly.
And as the doors continue to open, I thought, okay, then I must be on the right track. This must be where God is leading me, because otherwise the doors would close. I would take a different route, but it's not. I'm moving forward. So this means I'm on the right track. And entrepreneurship has always been for me. I've never really wanted to go work for someone else, do a 9-to-5. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And I tell people, not everybody can be an entrepreneur. We're not built the same. It's not for everybody, especially in this generation where everybody wants to be seen as bossed up. Seen as,
and boss
they think,
babe.
They think entrepreneurship means Mercedes, own house, this, bank account overflowing. Good luck with SARS.
Yes, good luck with SARS.
Good luck with actually managing and sustaining that business and making sure that you are growing. You know, it's one thing to have a business on paper. It's one thing to go and register it and think, oh my goodness, I open a business, you know, start a website, have an Instagram account for it, and then what? How do you scale your business? What impact does your business have? Not just on your life, but society, your team. What are you doing? You know, and what's your objective? People just start businesses, they don't even know what they just want to make money. Why are you putting this out there? I don't know. Is it going to sell? I just want to make money. So that is your sole reason, then eventually you're going to fail. And it's not going to be as fulfilling, because you might make the money and then you look back, you're like, but what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
How do people remember me? How do I make people feel, you know, whether it's the people that are building with me, the team that I have, do they think that this is something that is worth working towards? Mm. You know, is this something that we're going to be excited about doing even in the next 5 years? Or is it a short-term thing that it's cool now, it's trending now, in 2 years' time, I'm out, you know, so...
I love what you're saying, guys, and I feel like I'm sitting with my twin here because there's so many things that you say where I'm just like, yes, that's me. I would say exactly that.
Yeah.
I get you there. So if people aren't working for money, then why are they becoming entrepreneurs? If I'm not going to become one to become rich, then what's the point?
Fulfillment, I think, is the word that comes to mind. For me, looking back now, the things that I do from Ogele Entertainment, which I've battled with in the past 3 years. For those that don't know, Girl Entertainment is an online media platform. We cover celebrity news, trending news, sports news, all of that. And when I started it, I was super, super excited about it. That's the first entity of the company. I started Orgella Group with Orgella Entertainment. And I was 21, excited to just write about celebrities. But even then, my objective was not tabloid. I made it specific that I want to bring a different type of energy in the space. So when people always used to ask me, why do you write about celebrities, but you're not always attacking them? I'm like, I never actually attack them. For me, I want to tell you who's released a new album, who's on what. Like, I want to highlight their careers because I love the moves that they're making as celebrities, whether it's a makeup artist. That's what I would talk about on my blog, what's trending, who's coming to South Africa. I would try and score an interview, talk to that person, get exclusive content. I don't care who's doing well in their business, in their personal life. Who, you know, I'm not about that. I was never about that, and I will never go down that route. So for us, the objective was always clear with Orgel Entertainment. And with every other entity that followed, with Boss Chic South Africa, it was a women empowerment platform that came about from the female fans that I gathered on social media. I didn't even anticipate like that growth as quickly as it happened over Twitter and social media and, you know, the blog, and just so many women following my moves. And I thought, wait a minute, you turn around and you're like, wait, where are you guys going?
Yeah.
Like, we love what you're doing. And then the movement started. And then I started Boss Chic South Africa, which is a women empowerment platform. And other different entities, you can go to www.orgelegroup.com to see what we do. But the objective for me was always to inspire.
Yes.
That's the impact that I want to leave behind. When people ask me, you know, what does Allegra want to leave behind? You cannot encounter me and have a 5-minute conversation with me or a cup of tea or whatever and not leave thinking, I need to be better. I know I'm doing good now, but I want to be better. Even if you are doing exceptionally well, there's always room for growth, always room to improve and be the best version of yourself. And I want to leave people thinking that way because I'm always thinking of growing and evolving and becoming a better person. And when I come to a point when I think, no man, this thing doesn't, it doesn't serve any purpose in my life anymore or the purpose that I thought it would, can I change it? And if I can't change it, can I just let it go and find something that serves me far better than what this old thing does, you know? And that's, for me, is that light bulb moment that Oprah, you would know, talks about. That you get that aha
the
moment.
Aha, yeah.
You wake up one day and you're like, I don't think I'm moving in the right direction. Because you know, you have your objectives, you know, you have the list, you have, you know what you're on this earth for. So when you start doing things that are not in line with your character, not in line with what you want to leave behind, you immediately identify it, as opposed to stringing yourself along for the next 5-10 years and then eventually realizing that, no man, I was on the wrong track. I actually didn't like this. I actually didn't want this type of impact that I have on people. I want to change and be better. I want to change and, you know. So knowing who you are, staying true to yourself, and outlining your goals from the very beginning. That way you don't get lost. Otherwise you just keep moving because you're following so-and-so social media, and if they do this, oh, you want to do that. You don't think that they're better. Level cannot be better than me at podcasting, please.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. So-and-so can't be better. Where are you going? Where are you going to end up? You're going to end up doing everything that everybody else is doing and missing out on your own purpose.
I love all these gems that you're sharing, Allegro. I mean, this is really important information, and I hope anyone who's watching this podcast is writing things down. Follow your own path, right? You have your own calling. You have your own internal DNA that says, this is where I'm supposed to go. Don't follow other people. Now, I want to talk a bit about diversification with you, you know, and the idea of pivoting and extending what you do. There's a lot of shame, I think, for me, centered around somebody who isn't single-minded. So I just do one thing and I don't do anything else, you know. And if you dare to say, I'm going to try to do a whole lot of things, people say, but like, how are you good at everything, you know? So take us through that. What gave you the audacity first to diversify? And how should somebody be looking at diversifying, pivoting, extending what they do without feeling shame about it and feeling like an imposter?
I know exactly what you're talking about, especially now on social media, where every time you're like, you're putting this out, you're launching this, people are like, ooh, ah. you're doing everything. You're doing a lot. You're all over the place. Do a lot. Do a lot. Figure out what you really love. But obviously do it with a plan. Don't just, I mean, I recently put out a post or a YouTube video where I was talking about not every hobby should be turned into a business. Some of them enjoy it, you know? Literally just do it for the fun of it. Do it because it brings you joy. Don't think about the money aspect. Don't think about, oh, now I need to go and register this as a business or whatever, unless it gets to that point. But about diversifying, for me, I've always known from the beginning that I want to have a company that has different types of entities. And those entities are centered around what I love, you know, and what I'm good at. But obviously, as a person, I'm one of those people, I'm good at a lot of things. And I love a lot of things, and I get excited. And I could have an idea in the shower. I could have an idea when I'm sleeping. I whip up my phone and I write it down on my notes so that I don't forget the next morning. I'm always having different types of ideas, whether I'm thinking this could make me money, or it's a business, or it's just something that a platform that I want to start, we'll see where it goes. I always have ideas, and I think it's great to have those ideas, but it's also, it's kind of a, it could be a blessing and a curse, you know, because sometimes you have too many ideas and then you don't know how to filter them. Then you don't know, where do I start? What do I do? And you find yourself scattered everywhere and you're not growing. You're not moving anywhere. You're just kind of like moving around. Oh, I can do this. I can do that. Where are you going? You know? So for me, I knew, I think I was 21, 22. I told myself I'm going to have a company and the maximum number of entities we will have under that company will be 10. What are those 10? What do I want to do? Some of them were inspired by the people around me. You know, I didn't always have all 10 figured out, but as I grew, like I said, I started with Orgel Entertainment, that I started when I was a third year student, and my lecturer was on my neck, like saying, Miss Nadia Fundamental, I'll never forget, saying, you are so good at this blogging thing. Why don't you take it up and see if it'll take you somewhere, it'll be a business. And she was right. I started Orgel Entertainment. It was booming. I was making money from it. I was learning the business of blogging and all of that. And that's how I started. Then I got a job at Trace Urban. When I was working at Trace, I was doing writing as a journalist. I was doing social media management. I was doing public relations. I was pretty much doing a whole lot of stuff. And I had friends within the entertainment industry, and my celebrity friends would always come and ask me, like, can you write a press release for us? Can you quickly help me with this? They're like, you're so good at communications and PR. Why don't you think of doing, like, starting your own PR firm? I never want to start something that I'm not going to grow from and something that I'm going to neglect in the next couple of years. I need to start something and see it through and let it grow to a point where, until I hear from God, until that voice for me that speaks to me and says, you've reached the end of this journey, and then I let it go. Until that point where I feel like maybe Orgella Communications isn't serving the purpose that I thought it would serve after 10 years or whatnot, let it go. And don't be afraid to let it go. I think also entrepreneurs, sometimes we like holding on. We love, yes, you started it, but it's not working. You found out you are at a loss. You are putting money into the business and not getting anything out year after year. What are you doing? Let it go. If you can't change it, if you can't make it work for you, don't be afraid to let it go and start something else. So for anybody at home watching this now, you've got too many ideas. You're thinking, I have so many things that I want to do. Sit down by yourself. Have some time where you have some me time. Jot down every single thing that you love. What can you and can you not live without? You know, figure it out. Mind map, if you will, whatever it is that you want to do to really narrow things down for yourself so that you're not confused. And then see which one you're going to start with and move on to the next. When I started with Orgel Entertainment, I made money, I invested into the next entity. You don't just start out of the blue from nowhere. Have a plan, figure out how you're gonna manage the finances, the team that you need to have, how you're gonna pay people. Are you making enough money to start getting people on board, or you're just getting excited? Next thing you have 10 people on payroll and then you're like, oops, what did I do? You can't pay them, or you're really struggling to pay them and you don't even pay yourself enough. You know, so there's all those different challenges that people need to look at to try and avoid, you know, going into a business that you're not really clear about your vision, you're not ready for, and then you encounter challenges and you drop it because you were not honest with yourself about the amount of work that it's going to take and the responsibility and just a whole lot of things that goes into having a business. So now imagine 9, 10 of them.
Yeah. You have to be really honest with yourself and really understand the process and structure. Yeah. So let's talk monetization, because I'm sure everyone watching this is going, oh my gosh, she has so many businesses. How does she make all this money out of it?
Yeah.
I've tried one business and I still can't make money. You get what I'm saying? Like people are sitting at home going, I've tried one and I can't make money from it. She's making money from nine.
Mm.
How do you go from starting a business to actually starting to monetize in a business?
Mm. I think the most important thing about monetization is knowing who your clients are, your customers. I mean, you know, with the podcast, you when you started this, I'm pretty sure you had a clear vision of, I'm being driven to start this so that I can inspire 1, 2, and 3. This is your objective. This is what you had in mind. And now the women that are watching this, even the men that watch this, and they're inspired and they're growing and they're learning so much from this platform. You knew what you were doing with it initially. So I think people that don't necessarily monetize through their businesses are people that had the wrong, you had the right business idea, but the wrong target market. Like you, and then you say, but why am I not selling? You're talking to the wrong audience. You're talking to the wrong people, you know? So your idea might be great. You know, I might start a PR agency. Wonderful. Amazing. Where are you based? Who are you targeting? You know, when we started out, I was very clear that Orgella Communications is going to help up and coming artists. We do celebrity and lifestyle PR, branched out into corporate too, but corporate only came on a little bit later on. I identified there are upcoming artists in South Africa that need that push. And that's where the real work goes in, because if you give me a known brand now, I mean, I'm not really doing much as a publicist. People know them already. But give me someone who is up and coming. They want to get on that radio station. They want their music to play. They want their music videos. Let me do the actual work. And that's how we started. A lot of people, when we used to start, would be like, oh, that agency is always doing like small artists. No, that's what we want. We want
that's
to
market.
We, that's my target market. I'm not trying to get like that big artist out there that you think, oh my goodness, if I nail that client, if we get them on our client roll, then we good. Give me the small artists, give them to me for like 2, 3 years, see what we do with them. That shows you our capabilities as a PR agency, how far we can get them. So if you're speaking to the wrong target market, you're not selling anything. Like, forget about making money. You're selling cars, you're speaking to people that want to drive bicycles, ride bicycles.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to work. Or you're selling meat to vegans. It's not going to work, you know? So identify who your target market is, first and foremost. Be consistent also. A lot of people, a lot of up-and-coming entrepreneurs, 3 years is nothing. Don't tell me, oh, I've been an entrepreneur for 3 years. Cute.
Oh, yes.
That's nice. That is lovely, you know?
Yeah.
Keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk after 5 years. Let's talk after 8 years. Let's talk. That's when, okay, now I'm making the money. The discipline is there. I've been in this business long enough to identify what I'm doing wrong, what I'm doing right, and what works for me. Don't tell me you've been doing business for 3 years and nothing's coming in. You don't see potential. Okay, fine. Then I don't know what to tell you, because clearly you're giving up way too soon and you have unrealistic expectations from your business and you're not willing to put in the work. Shut yourself away from the busy world of social media and just work on your business. One day when you look up, you'll realize that, oh,
I've done so much.
This is what I've been doing.
Yes.
You know? So I think also just people lack that consistency, that discipline as entrepreneurs. Some of them, you might be blessed enough to start a business and in 12 months, you're flourishing.
Yeah,
it happens. We're not saying it takes 3 years for all of us, but trust me, majority of those people end up losing the money just as quickly because they lack the discipline, you know, from the finances, how to manage it. And also imagine someone who comes from nothing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you've got like 6 zeros going on in your bank account. It's crazy.
It's,
you know,
overwhelming.
And you lose it just as quickly. The discipline is not there. The urge to be consistent, to continue to put in the hard work. When you're seeing all this, you're like, well, hard work for what? I'm not waking up early in the morning anymore. I'll kind of work when I want to, you know, I'll see. And then it doesn't work out. So somebody sitting at home, my business is not working out. Firstly, sit and ask yourself, am I speaking to the right people?
Because
if you're not speaking to the right people, you'll never make money. It might be a great product, but if it's not reaching the people that really are interested in the product, it's not going to work. You know, if Kim Kardashian was selling Skims to, I don't know,
politicians,
it's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
She's not going to be the billionaire, millionaire that she is today. It was never going to work. You know, so figure out what it is that you're doing. Have a proper plan. I know when people talk about business plans, we all get like, oh, no, I don't want to sit down.
Yeah.
People get all, sit down, have a plan. Mm. You know, it might not be as detailed as you think it should be, but have a plan, because that's the direction that you need. It's going to take you somewhere, you know. If you just start something with no plan, no goal, no, where are you going?
Where are you going?
Even when somebody starts in the middle of the road, where are you going? You're like, I don't know. I'm just kind of, tabon.
I hear you, and I completely agree with you. You need to know where you're going if you actually going to have plans that make sense, right?
Exactly.
I want us to speak to the female entrepreneurs right now who are watching this podcast. Mm. And I want you to give us three tips, maybe three or four, it's up to you, of how female entrepreneurs, especially African ones, can show up when they are doing what they do and when they're pursuing their dreams.
Mm. I think first and foremost, be confident. Mm. Showing up takes a lot of courage. Mm. If you are not going to be confident in who you are and what you bring to the table, confident about your talents, your goals, your dreams, people smell the lack of confidence from a mile away. Mm. Like, you walk in a room and when you talk, I can hear that you're talking sense here and there, but you're not as confident as when Lebo walks in the room. Lebo might be winging it, but as she walks in, I'm drawn to listen to you than someone else who's kind of like, you already belittle yourself, you know? Mm. First and foremost, be confident, you know? Confidence is not about money. It's not about you shopping at, you know, the most expensive stores and clothes. It's not about that. It's it's an internal thing. You know, you wake up in the morning and you tell yourself, I'm Allegro. This is what I bring to this earth. This is my goal. This is my, whatever it is, you know, those affirmations you tell yourself in the morning and how you present yourself to the rest of the world is how, you know, what makes you even more confident. So if you're going to present yourself to the rest of the world as, you know, I'm just trying, no, you're winning. You're doing this thing. You got this. You know what you're doing, you know? Everybody faces different types of challenges, but don't think that you are that one exception, that one person in this earth that is draining or, you know, drowning in sorrow, in debt, in whatever. Everybody has problems.
We all have issues.
My mom always tells me, people have problems. Mm. And if you go next door, you'll come back and say, I don't want the problems.
Yeah,
next door.
Exactly.
Let me keep my own problems. So first and foremost, be confident. Mm. Then be consistent. Mm-hmm. Like, when you start something, be consistent. Like, sometimes it will take you 8 years, 10 years, 20. If you really, truly believe in what you're doing and you're willing to put in the work, the consistency comes naturally. Mm. You keep working at it. When I started the blog, the numbers didn't just come in. At first, I thought maybe it's just a few people reading my articles. Eventually, I had an audience in the US. When you check the stats every month, you're like, yo, I've got, the audience in the US is growing. Nigeria is over here. It's also growing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's people clicking on my links. It's growing. But it was consistent blogging. It was every day writing articles consistent, not knowing who is reading, where they are. Am I reaching the right people? Sometimes doubting myself, sometimes thinking I got it, but I was consistent nonetheless. I kept going. And it got me this far. You know, it got me somewhere where I was like, okay, I see the work. I see, you know, the results of the work that I was putting in. And I think third, teamwork. Mm-hmm. Like we said in the beginning, when you asked how I do all of this, I can't do it on my own. Mm-hmm. I'm not superwoman, even though we all love to wear this cape, superwoman. Yeah. We all got our own strengths somewhere, you know, but you need a team. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always say, who's there for the hero when the hero needs helping?
Hey.
So you start the dream, you start this vision, and you need people along the way that are going to support your vision, that see themselves within your vision. Nobody supports something that they're an outsider to. Mm-hmm. So I always tell my team that it started off as an Allegro's dream, but this is our dream now. If you believe in the vision, if you believe in what I'm building here, if you see yourself growing and you love what you do within this team, then you work even 10 times harder. Mm-hmm. It's not just about month end, she must just pay me my money. No, I'll pay you your money, yes, but are you fulfilled? Do you love what you're doing, you know? I don't want any team members that are dragging their feet and pulling down the rest of us that are upbeat and, we know what we're doing, you know? So always analyze your team also. When you start bringing people on board, are they just here for the money? Do they understand the vision that I have? Are they moving? Are we moving together? Or am I 10 steps ahead and then they're behind? Or what's going on, you know? So figure out the right team members, because that is going to be how you literally scale your business and become an even better, you know, version of yourself and successful. Because anybody out there who's saying, I'm solo on this, I'm doing it on my own, good luck. Whether it's the sleepless nights, you're draining yourself, you're not even enjoying what you're doing. Because imagine you on this podcast, all these people working with you, the team that loves what they're doing, from the makeup artists, the hairstylists, everybody, the cameramen, the photographers, the women that are here. Who would be doing all of that if you thought, no man, I can do this myself? Or maybe you were going to do like a self-timer. You were going to call me and then you're going to put like, let's talk, Allegro. I'd be like, girl, bye. Like, bye, Allegro, bye. It's not going to work.
True.
So teamwork. If you want great results, if you want to literally max out your potential, reach, you know, greater heights that you've never even thought you could reach, work with a great team and see how far they take you. So I think those are the top three things that I would say to the women that are watching this and they starting a business or they're in the middle of it and they're thinking, yo, it's rough. Continue to be consistent. And above everything, if you know me, you follow me on social media, prayer above everything. You know, I've got the goals, I've got the, you know, the hustle, the boss babe energy, all of that. It's always been something that I've had, that confidence, because I know what I want. But trust me, I pray over my plans. I pray over my team. I pray over everything that every idea. And if it's not for me, God, please remove it quickly. Before I waste my time on it. And then give me something that I can work on. Otherwise, I don't want to waste years or months on something that is not, it's not for me. Let me move forward. And so pray over your plans and be consistent. Build a great team around yourself and show up. Be confident.
I hope that everyone who's watching today has a notepad and you've been writing these gems down, because these are serious, serious gems. I'm telling you now as an entrepreneur that everything Allegro is saying is exactly what you need to do if you want to succeed as an entrepreneur, especially a female entrepreneur on this continent. Before we go, I'm so sad that we have to end this podcast so soon, but what would you like to leave everybody with? What's the message that you want to leave people with? What's the store for Allegro D in the next 5 years?
Let me see. Without being funny, the price of petrol.
Yes.
It's going up globally. Price of bread. I was talking about it behind the scenes with your team. So with all those things and many other things that are happening in our world from 2020, this new world that we're in, don't let anybody waste your time.
Oh,
one.
Praise Jesus.
That's the first
thing I love that one.
Like, when I came here, as I was driving here, I accepted the invitation to be on your podcast because I love the platform and what you're offering, you know? Was it worth my time? Definitely. Why did I get in my car? Because I wanted to be part of this platform. Nobody forced me and pushed me here and all of that. I woke up today. I had other things to do. I still have other things to do after this. I did my makeup. I dressed up. I kept energy. I came here. You know, put your energy towards things that are going to grow you, build you up as a person, things that have impact, that are purposeful. There's so many reasons I could list of me being here today. You know, even an impact that is going to live online for the next coming months, years. We don't know who's going to stumble across this podcast over and over and be impacted by the messages that were, you know, these gems that we are just talking about. So that's the first thing. Don't let anybody waste your time in 2022 and beyond, guys. Like, we don't have time for that. I know back in the day we say, oh, I don't have time. But now we really don't have time for that, you know? And also just figure out what you really want with your life. I think with the past 2 years, a lot of people were home. You've done a lot of self-introspection. You've seen that there's so many things that it's clutter. You know, you started decluttering your life. Figure out what's important, what's not important, whether it's in my business, my personal life, my social media. Unfollow, block, mute. Do what you need to do to sustain your peace and move forward as a person.
Absolutely.
So filter your life, just, you know, and lastly, I think just enjoy life, you know, whether you are right in the beginning of your entrepreneurship journey, in the middle, or you are, listen, swimming in money right now,
Not that I think any entrepreneur right now is swimming in money, because, you know, but enjoy every phase of your entrepreneurship journey. It's lonely. It's so many of the negative things that you read about, you hear about, but it's also fulfilling. It's wonderful. It's it's such a, you pat yourself on the back. You're like, I did that. Like, I'm that girl. I did that. I started Orgella Entertainment. I started Orgella Group. I started whatever it was. And you can thank yourself. And you're so grateful that I didn't let anybody who told me years ago that I'm too young and, you know, inexperienced to start a business, I should go work somewhere else. I thank myself today that I didn't listen to those people. You know, I was confident enough to say, I hear you, but I'm okay on my journey. Let me keep moving. Let me keep doing things my way. So don't let anybody waste your time. Don't let anybody deter you on your goals, on your journey, where you're headed. Know where you are going. I think I've said this so many times in this podcast. Know where you're going, jot down your goals, and just have fun. You know, live your life to the fullest, because we don't know, right?
We don't know.
Tomorrow something else happens. We don't know. But just, yeah, and look at your circle. Declutter if you need to. Let go of people that are bringing you down, that are not bringing out the best in you, and prioritize your time to the things that mean the most, you know, that are going to have a great impact, and you're leaving behind a legacy that is worthwhile for people to look back and say, you know what, Lebo did this for me. It was that podcast, or it was that message on social media. She always, you know, she came with the gems. She always came with, when I don't want to get out of bed, I would open up my social media, or I would listen to a podcast, and I thought, okay, no, I need to get going. You know, I need to get going. I need to do something with my life. That's worth everything that we're doing here, you know.
Allegro D. Oh my goodness, guys. This is my first time actually meeting Allegro. I know her from social media, but we've never met. And I am so happy that I met you.
You are phenomenal.
You really, really are. And I hope more people get to feel your energy, see the work that you do, and be inspired by that, because I'm truly inspired just sitting here with you. You are incredible. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, once again, we've had another phenomenal guest. Please follow her on all her social media platforms. And please don't forget to like, share, subscribe. Do all the right things that get the people you love and know to watch this podcast, because we share gems here, life-changing gems. Until next time, remember, the easiest way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time.